Thanks for downloading and listening to Disciples View podcast. We have a lot in common. All of us want to retire one day, and the stock market might be near all-time highs, but you know what history shows us? Stock markets don't always see risk coming. So whether it's geopolitical tensions or energy disruptions, inflation or rising government debt, the real threats to our retirement plans often come from the one advisors don't see. So wouldn't it be smart to get a second opinion? You can with Bulwark Capital's free Know Your Risk Portfolio Review. Zach Abraham, the chief investment officer there, is a dear friend of mine. I speak with him regularly. He handles my money, my wife and I's, and he manages based upon risk management. They're always looking for ways to reduce our risk, always looking for ways to increase our upside, and always doing this in a way that, again, all about risk. If you're 5 or 10 or 15 years from retirement, you can't afford a risky portfolio. So sign up for Zach's free, no obligation portfolio review. Just go to knowyourriskpodcast.com. K-N-O-W, knowyourriskpodcast.com, or there's a link here in the show notes, knowyourriskpodcast.com. Investment advisory services offered through Trek Financial LLC and SEC registered investment advisor. Investments involve risk and are not guaranteed. Past performance isn't guaranteed future results. Trek 26-112. God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley, and he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. And God said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Fascinating thing to watch people respond to this horrible, this grip on power that President Trump is achieving. It's unprecedented. Think of the specter here that you're living through, and just imagine just how earth-shattering this is. The Supreme Court has ruled that the person in charge of the executive branch, I can't even believe I'm about to say this, can fire people within the executive branch. It's horrific. We as a society simply cannot operate in a world where a boss can fire an employee. I don't think this has ever been done. Of course, it's insane. But we're actually listening to political commentators and media members explaining to us that these are independent branches of government. Congress set them up to be independent. Who then is their boss? If they are independent, how then do they answer to the taxpayer? If they are truly independent, how then did they do that absent a constitutional amendment? The government of the United States of America shall consist of three co-equal branches, an executive, a legislative, and a judicial. One can pick up the United States Constitution and read about the responsibilities and powers of those branches and understand how we came upon the phrase co-equal and why it's co-equal. Congress has absolutely no authority to create an independent branch of government. It can create branches of government. It can fund them. But those branches of government must live under an elected leader. It can't live under Congress. Congress has no authority to direct the actions of those organizations. They have the authority to tax us and to make laws. They don't get to enforce laws. The executive gets to enforce laws. These agencies were initially created as regulatory agencies to regulate the actions of business, and now, of course, they regulate every single detail of human life, including exactly how much water is released every single time you flush your toilet. But the legislative branch cannot enforce laws. The executive can. And so these agencies have had a home in the executive branch. I am no fan of the administrative state. It's a convenient dodge by which Congress gets to say, well, we, we here in the Congress, we recognize the American people frustrated with these regulatory bodies and, these agencies are out of control. The regulatory agencies are out of control. American people, you gave them control. And presidents love to be able to say, well, I'd love to do this, but the EPA won't let us. Stinking EPA. If only for the EPA. Here is the Washington Post writing about the fact that the Supreme Court has said that within proper bounds and the following the proper contractual arrangements with employees, President Trump can fire some of them. Headline, Washington Post, Supreme Court expands Trump's power over the federal bureaucracy. The justices struck down a longtime precedent letting Congress insulate agencies from political influence, but stopped short of giving Trump the same power of the Federal Reserve. No, that's not what the Supreme Court did. The decision is not about Trump. The decision is about the executive branch. The precedent came about this way. Well, we've always done it that way. That's not true, but that's how it came about. You can have bad precedent. You could come into a business. For instance, the other day I had a friend of mine out to a business that I've helped on the board. And I'm hoping he'll get a board seat there because I'm stepping down. And there was no one there to greet him. He was going to buy some things. He said, why is there no one here? You know what? I haven't been out there at that particular location, and I was kind of embarrassed. Has it always been this way? Is this the new precedent? Then we learned that the lady who was supposed to be up there simply hadn't heard us yet, and we're not people who pick up bells on counters and ring them. That's a bad precedent. She should have been at the front desk. It's not the way we've always done things. Here is Vox. Trump's quest for untrammeled power just got a big boost. The Supreme Court knew one of its rulings could endanger democracy and did it anyway. Here's how you endanger democracy. You take away the power of unelected bureaucrats to rule DC without any way for the voters to rein them in. That's how you protect democracy. And the Washington Post claims that Congress insulated these agencies from political influence. I give you an example of how ridiculous that claim is. Mayor Pete Buttigieg. Mayor Pete's curriculum vitae is the following. He's a same-sex attracted man who wore a fake plastic breast to plastic chest feed a baby he and his partner purchased. That's his entire, I take it back. He was also a mayor of a small town in Indiana and was very, 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 very poorly respected. He became the Secretary of the Transportation Department of the United States of America. He was given billions of dollars to create charging stations for cars and created between none and seven. Ditto with high-speed internet. Billions of dollars and it just never got around to it. This is how people who worship power of government respond when power of government is limited by claiming that President Trump has too much power because the power he had in the Constitution has been returned to him. I've heard members of the media say these agencies affect every aspect of human life and now this is going to be under one man, President Trump. Hey, I have an idea. How about if we don't have agencies that affect every inch of human life? It was independent agencies who helped propel the idea that men are women and boys are girls if they say so. Independent state agencies like human rights commissions, doing this behind the backs of parents initially and then just shoving it in their faces. The National Institute of Health, Department of Education, Barack Hussein Obama signing papers to pretend men are women and boys are girls if they say so, and you don't get to pretend otherwise. You don't get to state the truth within schools. Independent agencies. And as you know, there was a ruling from the Supreme Court that says the following. States can prevent girls from having their scholarships, trophies, and positions stolen or from being physically assaulted or sexually assaulted, as happened in the separate country of Washington State during a wrestling match where a boy was pretending to be a girl and decided he would sexually assault the girl. That's on video. So it's not questionable. He did that. Washington State doesn't care. And they've already announced they're not going to change a thing in Washington State. Listen to this man defend girls competing against boys in sports from the Women's Lobby of Maine.
What about the voice of the kids? Forget about the agitators. Forget about the billionaires. Let's talk about the kids in these environments that feel they're cheated when they compete for these awards, and they feel they have to compete with somebody that who's biological male. Do you understand why they would feel robbed and cheated? And is there any balance for their concerns? Because they're the ones that the parents are trying to protect. The children who feel as though they made all this investment, it was a lifelong dream, and here they're competing with someone who's actually a biological male.
Well, first I would say that actually the science is pretty clear that there is not necessarily an advantage. Proposals like this are talking about treating six-year-olds.
You're a very intelligent woman. You're very intelligent and well-educated. Oh, and you don't think that there is no advantage? Come on now.
I'd be happy to share the evidence. But
share the evidence. Let us hear your evidence.
What we need to focus on.
Share your evidence. Let us hear your evidence.
This proposal treats six-year-olds the same way it treats high school football players.
Because six-year-olds are male. And beginning at day one, we're going to go back to say, you're a boy and you play your sports with boys. Yes, there are fewer biological advantages for boys versus girls at the age of six. By the time they're 12, that changes significantly. And by the time they're 16, it's unrecognizable. It was independent agencies that pulled the scam off. CNN is upset that the Supreme Court ruling allows states to ban men from so-called girls' sports.
We just got a really important case about transgender athletes in student sports. And it does appear that here the Supreme Court says that states can bar transgender students from playing on girls' sports teams. So this is expected based on what we saw in oral argument, but it's the latest in a series of defeats for trans Americans amid political backlash, especially in conservative states. Now this is significant because roughly half of the states in this country have similar laws, but this is one of the big cases that we've been watching. We just got it. We didn't have a chance to go all the way through it, but it does appear that the Supreme Court is allowing states to ban transgender athletes from playing in girl sports.
Oh, well, missed the part where they said so-called. I know that exists. I heard it with my very own ears. It somehow didn't make it into that soundbite. This comes from Resist the Mainstream. Peyton McNabb is partially paralyzed by a hit from a so-called trans-identified male during a volleyball match. The then 17-year-old was knocked unconscious and given severe brain trauma after a spike ball slammed her in the face. McNabb condemned Paris Olympics for allowing Imane Keefe, a man known to box as Angela Carney, who is a woman. She was also grievously injured. And it was independent agencies that allowed this to happen. NBC's response was not all that much better.
So for the president, this will clearly be a case that he will cite as a victory. He has talked about it as a cultural issue. It's been a big part of his discussion on the campaign trail. He often sort of boils it down into bumper sticker language, talking about transgender athletes and that's universally bad. That's his interpretation of it. It's obviously much more complex. It's an area of American life where there are very deeply personal issues, especially when it's involving minors.
They're very deeply personal to everybody. young women who spend their lives sacrificing to become great at a sport, such as a young woman who went to go play volleyball at San Jose State University. She got a full ride scholarship. Then the coaches at San Jose State University said, hey, there's a boy who's been successful pretending to be a girl. Let's give him her scholarship. That young woman showed up at school. They said, remember that scholarship we offered you? That's gone. You can pay tuition and go to school and maybe play volleyball, but you are behind a boy now. That's both deeply personal and deeply public, and everybody knows that these men are not women, even the people who are pretending otherwise. There's more to talk about this because it's not just in the so-called secular world. This has reached its way down into the churches and down into families. We'll talk about this as we continue. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We're living in a time where we're hearing from journalists at the Washington Post and Vox and NBC and ABC that President Trump has obtained unfettered powers over the so-called independent agencies in government. And so to recap, there's no such thing as an independent agency in government. Unless you have a constitutional amendment and you change the fact that the United States government shall consist, not might consist. It doesn't say could consist. It says shall consist of three co-equal branches, an executive, a legislative, and a judicial. And then the Constitution goes through and breaks out the powers and responsibilities of each of these co-equal branches. So unless you have a constitutional amendment, there's no such thing as an independent agency. Congress can tax us and make laws. They cannot enforce laws. The independent agencies were created by Congress, funded by Congress, but they were created as regulatory agencies who could create regulations that, unless Congress prevented it, would have the force of law. This is how we went from a small number of laws to millions of laws. And by one calculation, if the government wants to charge you, anyone listening to this, if the government wanted to find a way to charge you with a felony, they could. Simply by searching through the voluminous numbers of ridiculous and overlapping and conflicting laws created by these bureaucratic agencies. But the legislative branch cannot enforce law. Therefore, these regulatory agencies could not live under Congress. They were therefore nested under the executive, who can enforce law. They have always been under the executive. They have never been independent. They achieved a pseudo-independence by refusing to respond to the executive branch and by employee unions coming and making them permanent employees. The Civil Service Act, while well-intended, gave smart people jobs for life in exchange for lower salaries, lesser economic opportunity, but jobs for life. That has flipped. People who work within the regulatory agencies take home 2 to 3 times the amount every year of the average citizen in the United States of America. They have pensions, almost unheard of in the United States of America for anyone working in the private sector. And they still have job protection. So the Supreme Court said the president can fire some of the people in these executive agencies. It was independent agencies, so-called executive agencies, who started building the patchwork of laws and diktats that led to us being forced to pretend that men are women and boys are girls. Barack Hussein Obama pushed this the Department of Education under his control perverted Title IX within colleges and colleges, and it washed down into high schools. It was a dear colleague's letter. You will pretend that men are women and boys are girls. You can no longer stop men from pretending to be women for purposes of competition in sports or locker room activity, etc. That was an agency with the unmitigated power to say to an 18-year-old college freshman, you will travel with a male on your team. You will get into a shower. If you choose to shower, you will stand next to a naked man and shower. That's what you will do if you want your scholarship. Unmitigated power. But that didn't disturb them then because it was power they liked. They're talking about how this is deeply personal to people. We just heard this from NBC, pretending that President Trump makes this uses bumper strip language. You know, he doesn't understand that gender and sex is on a spectrum, President Trump. So he uses bumper strip language like boys are boys and girls are girls. Sometimes it's that simple. Or if you like, God created us male and female. In his image, he created us. But then again, in the minds of many liberals, God is on a spectrum. So this has real world applications, deeply personal applications that the media ignores. It's both very public and deeply personal, and it's no longer just in the realm of the secular. It's made its way down into the church. Satan is merchandising this within the church. Let's start here. Listen very carefully to the words of MSNBC's, I guess we're supposed to call them MS now, right? Yeah, they burned out that brand name MSNBC. They destroyed that. So listen carefully to the words of MS Now's Jennifer Rubin regarding the SCOTUS ruling.
You have seen a number of athletes, women athletes in particular, who are born female and present as female, sort of villainize some of the people who are like the plaintiffs in this case.
Yeah.
And Fallon was talking earlier about a demonstration at the court and hearing a cheer from biologically female athletes who compete as women, feeling like they are victorious in this moment. That feeling of victory can very easily bleed over into this sort of ostracizing.
So they're talking about people born as female. In other words, females. And it can bleed over into ostracizing, by which they mean men can no longer compete on our teams. That's ostracizing. Is it ostracizing if you are playing in a football team and you're in your huddle and you turn around and one of the key players for the opposing team is standing there in your huddle? Is it ostracizing if you say to the ref, hey, a player from another team is sitting here listening to our huddle and our playmaking. Can you make him leave? Does the referee come over and go, you're ostracizing? Or if you work at Google and you sit down one morning for a strategy session and a closed door meeting and you turn over and you say, Mark, what are you doing here? You work for Apple. Oh, I just thought I'd pop in. You're one of the lead strategists for Apple. You can't sit in our Google meeting. Hey, don't ostracize. That's the way that they're trying to confront this. Demonizing girls who stood up for themselves and women and face things like this. This is where this descends. And by the way, I mean, this stuff can really get me on a rant. And I apologize, I've been on a rant today. If you stand by women being forced to watch men steal their trophies and their scholarships and their position on teams and watching men beat up women in boxing and sexually assault women during wrestling matches and knock women unconscious in rugby and partially paralyze a girl during a volleyball game, then you have absolutely no ability to be against this. This comes from redux.org, redux.org. They've been all over this stuff for a decade. Redux.info. Redux has learned that a so-called trans-identified male housed in the Washington Women's Prison was cited for the physical and sexual assault of female inmates. Nani Lotusflower, gosh, I wonder if that's his real name, is serving a 10-year sentence for the brutal murder of a teen girl. And there's the picture of Lonnie, who has satanic face tattoos all over his face. He's allowed to be in a woman's prison with the name Nani Lotus Flower. And in the separate country of Washington State, they've made it functionally illegal for you to figure out if there's men in women's prisons. Do you see that there is no endpoint to this? I mean, the pharmacological endpoint of this is transhumanism. This is a run-up to transhumanism. It's a run-up to kids having it made normal that if you don't like the body you have, let pharma build you a new one. Wrong sex hormones, wrong sex surgery, that's a beginning. But yeah, sure, pharma can make you taller. Pharma can make you shorter. We can change the color of your skin. The furry movement, guys, I beg you to understand that the furry movement is one part sexual. It's very definitely to merchandise perversions. It's very definitely about, look, you can fall in love with anybody. It's very definitely that. It's very definitely mocking God. We are separate from the animals in that we have the Holy Spirit. We can consult the Word of God. We can have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We can allow the Holy Spirit to overcome our fleshly desires. Animals don't have that capability. We're different in that regard. Our sexuality is, when we're abiding with Christ, contained between one man and one woman in marital union, not so with animals. And also understand this, that the furry movement is setting the framework for people who would prefer to be animals. I know that sounds bizarre. They can never become animals, but as a friend of mine's son has done in London, he's had scales installed under his skin. He's had his eyes changed to appear to be reptilian. He's had his teeth filed down so that they are dagger-shaped. And he is working on getting an insurance company to pay to have scales installed all over his body. Incidentally, my friend is a pastor. That's how far his son has fallen, how Satan has attacked his family. There is no end point. And independent so-called agencies have pushed this. President Trump can fire people within these agencies, and he should. President Trump should fire everybody, anybody, and everybody who ever pushed the trans agenda because it's based on lies. You can say, well, that's the world. Aren't we to be in the world and not of it in this segment? True. So we look at God's design for us. We also recognize that Satan has taken the lies of transgenderism into the church, not through dragons, not through the pretense that one can become a dragon, none of that, angel of light stuff. This so-called Roman Catholic priest, Chris Lawton of St. Paul's Catholic Church in New York City, interviewed Clover, the church's so-called transgender music minister.
Clover, you are a beloved member of our Catholic faith community and a minister here in our community, and you're also transgender.
Yes.
And I wonder how you hold together those two parts of your identity.
Well, one of the first things I learned about being a Catholic is that we are all made in the image and likeness of God. And if we are all made in the image and likeness of God, then that means that I am too. And not authentically living out who I am would be a dishonor, a disservice to God.
And she goes on to talk about this authentic nature of who she is, that she is so-called transgender, and that God wouldn't want her to do anything else. And the so-called priest goes on to have this interaction with her, affirming the beauty of all this. Yes, she is created in God's image as a woman or a boy, man or woman, in his image. Jesus Christ never once said, hey, your delusion defines you. Keep it up. Christ, in fact, peeled the scales away from Paul's eyes. Paul identified as a judge and jury who was in arms, theologically, to go out and kill Christians. That's how he identified. So he was going out and killing Christians because this is the realm of God. And then Jesus struck him blind on the road, introduced himself, I'm Christ who you're crucifying, peeled the scales back, and Paul never returned to that life of sin. Levi, tax collector, his job was defined by his economics. Someone else was going to collect the tax. Why doesn't he do it? So he was doing that as Levi. Jesus Christ came and said, follow me. Levi left and became Matthew. Christ pulled him out of his sin life. He did that with all of the apostles. Pulled them out of where they had been and made them something new. So this person who says that that person is a so-called transgender minister within a Catholic church, we all enter church broken. We all go to the feet of glory broken. We all go to Christ broken. And Jesus never says, stay broken. Jesus, through the process of justification, this is justifying us with his blood, enters into the process of sanctification, allowing the Spirit to change us, to make us more holy, removing us further and further and further from the delusions of the world, and more back into how we were designed to be in the Garden of Eden. We are not going to have people who are gender confused in heaven, because God made us male and female in his image. In his image, he made us. We will be lifted from this confusion. People who are in this confusion, Christ is there to lift you from it. More mature Christians are there to lift you from it. This can be a huge burden people carry, but it's not a burden Christ wants you to carry. Independent agencies, now somewhat reined in, because President Trump can fire people, have also made money from this stuff. The FDA, their scientists participate in the funding. 40% of the FDA's monies come through pharma. The CDC makes money on patents for drugs for people who are experiencing gender delusion, wrong sex hormones, etc. There's made money. This extends down all the way to the very basics of the first meetings in the Garden of Eden between man and woman. And it extends all the way into a future where good will be called evil and evil will be called good, but we will stand on the solid foundation of God's word. We'll come back under the Disciples View. Thanks for downloading and listening to Disciples View podcast. We have a lot in common. All of us want to retire one day, and the stock market might be near all-time highs, but you know what history shows us? Stock markets don't always see risk coming. So whether it's geopolitical tensions or energy disruptions, inflation or rising government debt, the real threats to our retirement plans often come from the one advisors don't see. So wouldn't it be smart to get a second opinion? You can with Bulwark Capital's free Know Your Risk Portfolio Review. Zach Abraham, the chief investment officer there, is a dear friend of mine. I speak with him regularly. He handles my money, my wife and I's, and he manages based upon risk management. They're always looking for ways to reduce our risk, always looking for ways to increase our upside, and always doing this in a way that, again, all about risk. If you're 5 or 10 or 15 years from retirement, you can't afford a risky portfolio. So sign up for Zach's free, no obligation portfolio review. Just go to knowyourriskpodcast.com. K-N-O-W, knowyourriskpodcast.com, or there's a link here in the show notes, knowyourriskpodcast.com. Investment advisory services out through Trek Financial LLC and SEC registered investment advisor. Investments involve risk and are not guaranteed. Past performance isn't guaranteed future results. Trek 26-112. Welcome back to Disciples View. We'll get to the tire babbling and a personal note here in just a moment, and we'll do a quick cleanup item. Are you watching the protests against Flock cameras? This is fascinating to me because young people for years, and if you don't know what Flock cameras are, they're these cameras that this so-called private company, which is so mobbed up with the intelligence services and law enforcement, it's a surveillance state. They're monetizing the surveillance state. They're spies. And they set up these cameras all around the country, sometimes in people's yards without their permission. And people wake up in the morning, what is that in our yard? Oh, that's a Flock camera. And then you have to work with the city. Would you please come and remove your camera? Well, we need to review your request. It's in my front yard. Well, but it shows on our map. It's in our front yard. Young people for years have been increasingly okay being spied upon. But somehow the Flock cameras are animating them into protest. And the Flock cameras have extended now into having these listening devices. And it was merchandised as listening for gunshots, and now it listens to human voices and voices in distress. This is all being sold as a help to law enforcement, and I'm sure it is. Now they've expanded into drones, and they're spending a lot of time now producing videos showing, oh, look how the drones tracked the bad guys. I have a question for you to ponder. Do you prefer living with messy freedom or neat, tidy tyranny? Let's apply God's wisdom to this. God doesn't need Flock cameras. He doesn't need drones. God doesn't even need to watch what we're doing because he already knows what we're going to do. And he allows us to live in messy freedom. Why? Because he loves us. He knows the eternal ending. We're watching our government say, we don't like your messy freedom. We want to be able to develop patterns of life for you to get ahead of decisions you might make, to stop you from making these decisions because these decisions are bad for us. So in a bipartisan sense, we're going to build a surveillance system all around you with Flock cameras and drones and their Condor devices, which now track people who are walking. So they're putting cameras up on walking paths. And their executives make these ridiculous declarations. They don't track people. Oh, but the eye of the camera is following me as I walk back and forth. Well, it's not tracking you as an individual, just you as a body. This week, the Congress of the United States has passed a bill that they're merchandising as COSA, Kids Online Safety Act. And here's how they're going to keep kids safe. They're going to make you turn your driver's license or passport over to Facebook or ChatGPT or Google or any of the services you use, or Apple, so you can use your computer, or Microsoft. The tech companies want all this. Congress is pretending this is going to hold tech accountable. But here's what they're also saying. Oh, we're not making you turn over your ID. Oh, no, no, no. We simply say that the tech companies have to know who you are somehow. We're not making them turn over ID. God gave us messy freedom. Our government wants us to have tight tyranny. Which one is godly? Yes, God is a God of law and order. In our country, law restrains government first. The first laws in our Constitution restrained government. God is a God of law and order, not chaos. Quick cleanup item here. This Epoch Times interview with this doctor who's saying that breastfed babies born to so-called vaccinated mothers are presenting with zero bifidobacteria in their gut.
So the first four patients I started noticing a month later, the bifidobacteria, this important microbe, is dropping in patients pre and post vaccination. So then I started like asking myself, wait a minute, what's going on here? I mean, is it creating a bifidophage? You know, because this is precision medicine. This is forensics of the gut, right? You've got your microbiome this way before and you've got it after, and it's the same patient, and only a certain group of microbes are getting killed, you got to pay attention. So then, you know, 10, 20, 30, 34 patients later, we're seeing this, you know, killing of the bifidobacteria.
And what this means is this is extending from the mother into the child. Children are being formed without that bacteria. Guess what that bacteria is responsible for? Immune systems. This is always going to tie back to an incredible thing to me. I'm a community college dropout. There's a lot of us with unclassical or weird educations, or we've taught ourselves. How is it that people like me looked at the design of those COVID shots and said, that's going to create immunoderangement? How did we know that? Because the gene sequencing devices caused your body to produce a poison. Your body was producing something poisonous to itself. It was clearly going to cause the derangement of the immune system. But independent agencies, the best and the brightest, said that it was all, well, the science is clear, safe and effective. On this program, Todd, thanks, God, for placing supposedly wise people like me, Tony Fauci, on tall towers of shaking sand with this thing that he calls the Tower of Babel.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents The Tower of Babel.
My son only tried to rob you, and you took his life. That was an abuse of force, Channing. You must pay for this.
Three sound bites in today's Tower Babbling. It's almost always the case. This woman insisted brown Americans are being deported under the Trump administration.
Americans have been deported.
Who?
I'm not going to name them off the top of my head, but you're
just one.
You're free to Google it.
Just one.
You're free to Google it.
Why don't you know it? If you're going to make the claim, back it up. Who has been deported that's an American citizen?
I can't name them. Do you want me to Google it
yes,
really quick?
Please, please look it up. Under the Trump administration, what American citizens have been deported? If you don't want to give me proof to prove me wrong, then I guess that's kind of the end of the conversation, right?
Sure, why not?
Okay. God bless you.
No name. If you're going to make the accusation, be prepared to back it up. I agree. And if United States citizens are being deported, I want it to stop, and I want any official connected with it punished. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Remember this? This was huge. And then it was gone. Because the algae was gone. Here's a brief montage of the reflecting pool algae affair.
The president's quest to make the reflecting pool in front of the Lincoln Memorial blue has had a setback. It's green.
CNN's Brian Todd went to check it out. Brian, what did you find? It looks pretty green.
Let's zoom in here, Dennis, if you will. And okay, you say, oh, look at this beautiful patch of grass. No. That is the reflecting pool. It's green, okay? It should be blue.
It's blue now. It's so funny. They've stopped paying attention to that since they brought in these devices, O2 devices, ozone devices that have caused it to be blue again. I wonder why they've stopped reporting that. Can anyone guess? Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Joy Behar and Seinfeld co-creator Larry David want you to be embarrassed to be an American.
It was embarrassing. I was embarrassed to be an American. Yeah.
So, I'm very good friends with Larry David. Yeah. And so I'm not going to, I think he's right in many ways. I mean, you listen to Trump. We used to have friends around the world. Now we don't have them anymore. So what is he talking about?
Well, I'm not going to choose to be embarrassed because Joy Behar or Larry David say so. I'm just going to reflect upon God's word. We all fall short of the glory of God, even our country's leaders. Well, maybe even especially them. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
Muslims are the face of modern day Britain. The religion of Islam is one of peace.
That was the Tower of Babbling on A Disciple's View.
On a personal note, I've been reflecting a lot on the difference between July 4th and Independence Day. And the more I reflect about this, the more I start to reflect upon our nature of people as people who have become independent by virtue of being dependent or admitting our dependence. When you admit your dependence upon God, you are independent from forces that don't mean you well. You're independent from the forces of the world. You're independent from the forces of pressure for the world. You're independent of the desires of the flesh. To a degree, we'll always struggle, we'll always wrestle. But over time, as we're more and more sanctified, we become independent of those things by dependence on God. What a strange conundrum the Lord sets up. Has the Lord ever moved you into a position of utter dependence? Has he ever put you in a position where nothing else is going to help but God? Those moments where you have the but God moments? I know people who've had but God moments that are some of the most dramatic in the world. I know people who have been in battles. I know someone who was shot down in the Pacific, who spent about 3 days floating in the ocean. And every time he started to go under, he pictured his promise to his wife that he made to God, in front of God, until death do us part, and it wasn't time to die. And he will tell you to this day, it was but God. That's very dramatic. But he'd been put into a position where he had nothing else to count on, some wreckage that he could intermittently float on. And so the waves took it away, and he had to tread water until he found more. But God. So sometimes God is going to move us into some positions where there's only God. When I was a young kid, I went climbing up a cliffside on the Spokane River. And I went too high, too fast. My mom was down below with her boyfriend and some other family members. And I became aware of the fact that I was on this cliffside, and I looked down, and you can feel things with your body, the angles of your body. There was no way I could turn around. And if I tried to climb down, I would fall down. The only thing I could try to do was to lower my legs and try to find some way to ladder down. But at this hillside, there was nothing to hold on to. And then I slipped and I held on to a piece of grass. This is grass that any other time would have pulled straight out of that hillside. There was nothing to secure it. It was dead grass, and it held me until the time I could feel around with my feet, and my mom's boyfriend came running up and gave me some direction. Kick your feet to the left, kick your feet to the left. And I kicked my feet to the left, and there was at least a solid rock on which I could stand and then carefully find my way down as my mom's boyfriend ran up and helped me. That piece of grass shouldn't have held me, but God. But why? Because he had plans. He had plans for more times in my life where I would have to become dependent upon God. How scary is that for you, to be completely dependent? I think I'm going to know that I've arrived at a new level of faith where I can very comfortably wake in the morning contemplating having nothing but God. Are you there yet? That's a really, really, really aspirational position to gain. You can wake in the morning with nothing but God, and you're okay. You're not panicked. You're not scared. You're fine because you have God. I know people who are there. A lot of them are at sort of not end of life, but near that point. They're in their late 70s, many of them early 80s, and they're not that well. They've got a number of health concerns, and they wake every single morning without the guarantee they're going to make it through the week, without the guarantee, some of them, that they're going to have heat in the house or air conditioning, without the guarantee that they're going to see a visit from their kids or their grandkids, or in some cases, their great-grandkids. And they wake in the morning, they open their eyes, and they say, "Praise you, God, I have you." Dependence upon the Lord is independence from all else. This is why I look forward to the new heaven and the new earth. To be completely independent from the dependencies on my own so-called wisdom or smarts or hard work or ideas or creativity, but to be completely dependent upon God in the most independent living we could ever imagine. Walking hand to hand once again with God Almighty as we were designed to be. Independent beings with liberty and eternal life with no need to seek happiness because we are happiness. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations until God grants us permission to speak again. Now there may His peace, which transcends all understanding, rest upon you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.